Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
It's time for another edition of The Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me!
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
Comedian Kevin Casey White is our guest today on The Brett Allen Show. I'm excited. He has a new special on 800 Pound Gorilla. It's really funny. And I think it's always fun when a comedian gets a chance to put out a special. No matter big, small, it doesn't matter because it's a badge of honor, I say for sure. And it's an accomplishment too because, like, you know, years and years of hard work is validated because you have 45 minutes to an hour to put out something that is enjoyable for your fans. So congratulations, Kevin. And thanks for your time. It's great to hang out today.
Thank you. And I appreciate the intro because it's funny. You know, this being the first, you know, I've been touring and performing for years and years and years. And I was like, let's finally put something out. And it was like such a learning curve. And there were so many new obstacles and everything. So, yeah. So to hear you recognize a little bit of the struggle that went into it is nice to hear. I think especially nowadays with like so much of comedy and so much of content and media just being like quick 15-second, you know, spit it out kind of stuff, that taking time to have something that has a certain look and feel takes so much work. And yeah, so thanks again. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. So was it about the 8 to 10 year mark for you on this or somewhere in there?
Yeah, so I actually started, like, my very first time on stage was like 15 years ago, but I started in St. Louis, Missouri. That's my hometown. And it's okay. It's not a big showbiz comedy town. And so you get up maybe like once a month and call yourself a comedian. It wasn't till 5 years later where I moved to Chicago, where I really started hitting the pavement. So I've been doing it consistently around like 10, 12 years. Is where I'd
put
it.
Still in Chicago now?
No, I'm in New York now.
Okay.
Really wanted to pay more in rent, so I moved up here.
You decided I wasn't paying enough in Chicago, so I'm going to go to New York and really feel the struggle as an artist.
Yeah, I remember my first apartment in St. Louis. I was paying like $200 a month, you know, if that tells you anything. And then I was like, let's go to Chicago. And then I, you know, once I was comfortable there, I said, you know, to be an artist, I really need a struggle. Let's go back to living in a shoebox.
Were you in Chicago proper or a suburb?
No, I was. I spent most of my time in Logan Square, Bucktown area. Are you familiar with Chicago?
I lived in Bensonville, Elmhurst, and Wheaton for a very long time. So, yes, I'm Schaumburg. I'm very familiar with Illinois.
Yeah, great. So, you know, did you go to a lot of comedy while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Colorado now. So,
love Colorado.
I'm in Loveland, so I go to the Forts a lot, but there's also the Verboten Loco Comedy guys here that In fact, they're doing a show tomorrow night. So I'll be there interviewing. I'm friends with those guys. So, yeah, cool. I mean, I'm a comedy nerd, I would say for sure. I've never gone up before. They have open mics once a month here at the Slice and Roll Pizza. So, I mean, you know, in these shows, the open mics pack out. These comics come from the I-25 corridor and they do 4 minutes to get on stage. And you've got a mix of comics that have been doing it for 15, 20 years who are regulars at Comedy Works in the Fort. And you have single moms that are going up for the first time. So, and it's a really safe environment that Dan has. And I always brag on him for it because these shows pack out. And then of course there's the brewery shows. So you're clearly familiar with all of it.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny you said you hit on so many things I want to comment on. Comedy Fort is, I don't have it by me. My I have a Comedy Fort beanie I wear in the winter. That's one of my prized possessions because I had so much fun the first time I was there. So, you know, D-Rod and all those people. And, like, Comedy Fort's really special. You said they pack it out for an open mic. That doesn't happen in every city. Colorado, there's something in the water. Denver... And now Fort Collins.
Loveland. Like, I mean, these open mics, they pack out at the Slice and Roll. It's like standing room only. Dan runs two parts. There's the open mic part. And then there's the jar of jest, he calls it, where you can put in a topic and then a comic will come up and riff on it for like 3 minutes.
I love that. I love that kind of stuff. I have terrible ADHD. If you see my special, if you watch my special, you'll notice I go off the rails a lot. I can't help myself. That is exactly the kind of thing I love. But I was going to say Colorado, it's like an incubator almost. I don't know what it is, the altitude, how there's a brewery every two blocks. I don't know what it is, but like I used to, when I lived in Chicago, I would go to Denver every 6 months. It was like my fortress of solitude to like just work on stuff. It's very experimental as a scene, very hip and very young, very cool.
Very welcoming too, which
yes, it is.
I find so interesting having been in California and seeing shows there. I really wasn't into the scene as much there. I would go to, you know, Cobbs once in a while, maybe head up to San Jose to the Improv and go see shows. But one of the things that I found so interesting and why I befriended these guys is because it's so different. Like tomorrow, these shows are going to sell out at Verboten, I would bet money. And they've got headliners coming in. It's crazy. It's just, it's a different thing. Like to be able to leave my house and drive 3 minutes or e-bike during the summer and just go catch a comedy show for an hour and a half and pay $7 is just amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are a few of these like mid-level, like mid-size cities where I think comedy really blossoms. So I live in New York now, like I said, and you mentioned L.A. and both those towns. Everybody's very much like, and I love
everybody
the
wants
scene.
To be at at the Fort or at, you know, the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory. Like,
Well, it feels like everybody's very career focused in a way where it's like I need to do ABC to get on XYZ and then blah 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 doors will open up. But when I lived in Chicago, my time spent in Colorado, I think Atlanta is one of these towns too. Austin's having a boom right now, but I would say pre-boom Austin, all these cities.
Well, it's because like Joe Rogan moved there, so now everybody's going there.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. But all these towns are like, it's like a college experience where people, there's no industry that you're experimenting, you know, and then and anything goes and people are doing weird debate shows. And like you said, like improvisational shows and people are doing weird characters and things like that. And that's where creativity thrives. And those are my favorite places to perform.
Yeah, the alt scene is big in Chicago and New York. I have talked to a few people, Wisconsin, of all places. But it's interesting, like the old saying has been, go to Chicago, New York to get good, go to LA to get discovered. Because I think, you know, just historically as comedy works, you know, it's like, you know, in the 80s, there was the boom. Everybody goes to L.A. to get on Carson, you know, or it was like get late night, get a development deal, get a sitcom. And now, you know, Just for Laughs, that was big, and now it's gone bankrupt. So it's like, you know, all those six-figure deals they gave out in the 80s and 90s and 2000s is now costing them a lot of money, and they can't operate anymore. But I feel like, you know, coming from an introspective look, not anybody that's done the game, but spoken to dozens and dozens of comedy people, comedians, it's like you get this sense of like, you know, people just at this point want to be good, and they want to have a good solid 5, 10, 15 minutes. And then 800 pound and blonde medicine have really come in and helped comics who don't necessarily get the Netflix deal, or even comedians like Josh Sneed, who's had measurable success, to put something out so people can check it out, like yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I shot my special myself. Like, I didn't shoot it. I hired a director and editor and stuff, but like went into debt making this thing because I had a specific way I wanted it to look and feel. And I was like, if I make a good product, I can shop it around and somebody will want it. And I'm happy to say, like, I had kind of my pick. Like, I shopped it around, and larger labels with you know, roots more in like the mainstream industry made me offers, but I wanted to be on 800 Pound Gorilla. And it's funny, it's like I am such like a little indie darling, for better or worse, with my career, where 800 Pound Gorilla, I was like holding out, because like 800 Pound Gorilla was like the one that I really wanted, and they're the one that like I didn't hear from till the very end. I was about to sign with somebody, and then 800 Pound Gorilla came in, and I was like, sorry, I gotta go with the cool kids. It's just like the people that I really love to watch, like Cal Kinane, David Cross, Chris Gethard, all these like alti kind of people are on this label, and I wanted to be with those people, and it just fit a structure. Not to mention the fine print stuff made more sense for me. And I was just like elated to be on the label, and everybody's been like fucking great, honestly. But yeah, man, it was a dream come true.
And even YouTube now, like Andrew Schultz, you know, had a deal with Amazon, but they wanted to edit some jokes, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
So he put it up on his website. And even, you know, Louis C.K., when he, I wouldn't even call it a comeback, but really just put out a special and put it for sale on his website, his fans, it's only available to them. I think now you can get it everywhere, but like, you know, the days of having to do A, B, C, D to get distribution don't exist anymore, because literally, you know, even the TikTok crowd work, I think most comedians are split on that. But I think you can really, if you want distribution, you can get it. It's there. And, but it's not crapping on, you know, having somebody like 800 or Blonde or whatever give you a little bit of money to like help you, you know, soak up the cost of blowing your life savings to put a special together, which I think is cool.
It's funny you said it. Now, yeah, for me, it was all about their structure as far as how they present the comedians on their label.
Yeah, for sure.
So some people wanted to put it out on their label, but it would be exclusive to like Amazon Prime, which means you need to like rent it or buy it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I come from like a very like punk rock DIY background. I've always produced my own shows, never wanting to charge more than $5 a pop or donations at the door. I've always done my own DIY tours, doing like rock clubs and coffee shops and stuff, and just being like to the promoter, like, if you can get me like $100 and a place to crash, I'll come through, and then we can try to pass the hat. Cause it's just like what I believe is like, I just follow like all the structure of like all the bands I loved, of like cheap show, and then if you do a good job, maybe you can sell a couple t-shirts at the end. But it's like, I don't want to try to gouge someone 15, 20 bucks to like watch my comedy special. I think it should be free and it should live out there. And then if you like it, come see me live and give me a follow and just like keep track, you know? And that's what 800 Pound Gorilla is all about. All their content is free on YouTube. If they do some sort of thing behind a paywall, just give it a month and then they wind up putting it up for free anyway. And I just very much agree with that, that kind of like that DIY kind of ethos, you know, which is why I wanted to go with them so bad.
I think it's great. Well, the special is really funny and
thank you.
It's yes. And it seems to be well received. Yeah.
Honestly, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I was so like, I've put out clips and stuff, but to say like, here's a body of work, here's like a complete package. The like week running up to it coming out, I was like laying in bed thinking like, what have I done? What? Why? Why
you're
should,
like, what have I gotten myself into?
This is a terrible mistake. I know when I perform live, I get an immediate call and response with the audience. I tell a joke, they laugh. If they don't laugh, I course correct, call it out, do something. I've never had a thing where I'm like, all right, it's just in the ether now. What's going to happen? And I am happy to report 99% of the comments have been very, very positive. People saying it's things all the way from like, this is my favorite, new favorite special. You know, we mentioned before, I've been a little under the radar kind of doing a thing. People are like, oh, wow, where'd this guy come from? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then there's that 1% where people complain just to complain. Like, it's not even, I haven't had really problems with my jokes coming up as a topic. Somebody was like, this is the worst cameraman ever.
Like, yeah, well, those like guys live, like, yeah, the keyboard right, warriors. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you can click on somebody's name and it'll show the other recent comments that they've had. And any negative comments on mine, I've checked these people out and they're all their other recent comments are on other comedy specials. Some of them are friends of mine. And like, I remember one guy, I think it was the camera guy. He was like, worst cameraman ever. I'm like, okay, like, why does this? One, you're wrong. Cameraman killed it in this. It's got a little bit of a shaky cam vibe. That's intentional. But I clicked on his thing and he commented on somebody else's special. Too many ads. This sucks. 0 stars. I'm like, ads? Like, you can't, what? It's not the comic's fault. It's monetized. Like, what are you talking about, you psycho? You know, but that's just people. That's people, man. But yeah, man, it's been a really good reception. The write-ups have been good. The comments have been good. The views have been good. I'm happy.
So now that you have put this out, do you continue to use these jokes as a commodity in other things that you're doing, or do you put it out, shelve it, and start new?
Great question.
Thank you.
I did. It's funny. So yes and no. It depends on the gig, right? If I'm booked for a headlining spot where I've got to do an hour, I've only got maybe 20 of the new act of, together so far. And even that needs to be tightened up because it's a whole you know, you kill your darlings as you go and you find segues and stuff. But right now I've got like 15, 20 new that I'm workshopping, building the next act, building the next hour. And so if I'm going to do a weekend like that, I've got to go to the well a little bit, but I don't want it to start middle and end the same way. So maybe the thing that I close with on the special that was the old thing that I was touring on, maybe I'll open with it this time. Or maybe I'll try some new tags that I thought of just to keep it interesting. You know, it's always kind of changing and evolving. That said, when I recorded it, I did a weekend. I was in Minneapolis. I did a weekend at this club called the Comedy Corner Underground. Minneapolis is a great comedy town, too. And I did 2 shows Friday, Saturday, and Saturday's the show that we kind of like went with. I did like an hour 15 and we trimmed it down to 40. So there's maybe like a good 20, 25 minutes or so of stuff that we didn't use that, I'm still, you know, sneaking in there, with the newer stuff to try to flesh out a set. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that 20 and I'm going to release it as like a B-sides thing, I think later nice. In the year or early next year. Yeah.
I love it. I think we talked to Ellie Hino. She's in Wisconsin.
Mm.
And she works the clubs there. That's very cool. Good stuff. I want to ask a couple more questions here. What is the scoop with Romania's Got Talent? What is that? How did that even happen? Like, that's cool.
Man. Okay. How much time you got? I'll try to keep this short and sweet, but okay. So I have been trying to do more international touring lately. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in Mexico City doing shows. So much fun. And that, of course, presents a new series of challenges, though, with, as you can imagine, you know, language barriers and stuff, right? So I was in Spain last summer. I was in Barcelona, and I met a comedian who had done Romania's Got Talent, or Ayumor, as they call it. And I was like, that's hilarious. How do I get on that? Who do I reach out to? Because I thought it would just, this is full irony. I just thought it'd be so funny to have that as a credit, to like have that logo next to my face on a poster or have it in my bio.
Oh yeah, that's the best.
Right? It's just ridiculous and it's insane.
I love it.
So I got this email, put it in my notes app, kind of forgot about it. Several, you know, months go by, I find it and I'm like, oh yeah, well, whatever, middle of the night, shoot him an email, didn't think anything of it. The next day, I got a WhatsApp message from one of the producers, and she was like, hey, we got your tape, we'd love to have you. I've got to ask a question. Why do you want to come to Romania, though? She's like, you're in New York. Why would you want to be here? And I was like, I just think it would be fun. You know, it just seems cool. When else am I going to go to Romania? Like, why not? Right? Fuck it. And she was like, okay, I mean, if you want to come do it, we will put you up in a hotel. We'll give you a little stipend and we'll put you on air. Have you been to Romania?
I have not.
You been to any Soviet or former?
Oh, yeah.
Soviet
I've been
countries?
To Albania. Yeah. When I was in the military.
Okay. I imagine it might be a little similar in Albania. I was shocked at how different it is. Like I said, I've been touring around a bit to some other countries. Typically, when I go to a place like Spain, I've been to Dublin. Like I said, I was just in Mexico. People are typically like, oh, wow, cool. You're from New York? Great. Welcome. What's it like? Everybody in Romania was very suspicious of me being, literally everybody, I'd be like, hey, I'm from New York. And they'd all respond with, why are you here?
Oh,
what are you
I
doing
can imagine
here?
That they
everybody
look,
was, yeah.
It doesn't make
it
sense
crazy.
To them. I'm sure they're
crazy.
Probably like, why is he here?
Yeah, and I'm all plucky, like, yeah, I thought it'd be kind of funny and cool. And they're like, okay. Like, nobody was interested in me at all. And I had no business being there. And I did it. I did the taping. I'm going to try to not eat up too much of your time with this story. Because
oh, you're fine. I love it. I think it's great.
Okay. Okay. Well, ask me questions along the way because I will ramble. But the condensed version of how it went is this. So I land on the oh, you know what's funny? Actually, the second the plane landed, I remember like I woke up and I saw that there were like four or five rusted, broken down airplanes that they like shoved to the side of the tarmac.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And I just remember thinking like, whoa, this is crazy. I'm on the other side of the world. What have I done? Why am I here? My girlfriend had points with Delta. That's how we got the flight. Okay. I was like, this is a very expensive, pointless little inside joke to be doing. But we get there and the culture's different, man. It's stuff that like,
oh, yeah.
Man, all right, look, it's just like here in that there are judges, right? And they give you like a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever, right? But the stuff that they get away with is definitely not quote unquote PC. And I'm not like, I'm not like a pearl clutching kind of, I can't take a joke person, but I met a couple other comics while I was there that also spoke English. And, just a little one of the comics was a woman and she went up and she had like a quick like pussy joke. All right. Cleaned up for TV, whatever. Just her saying like vagina or whatever word she used for it. One of the hosts He's like the bad guy. He's like the Simon Cowell gonna like mess with you guy. He starts like hooting and hollering and blah blah blah. He stands up, he makes like a diamond shape with his hands and puts it over his crotch, and he's like, ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm like watching this, like, this would get anybody fired in any other place.
It wouldn't even make it to air, probably.
That's what I'm saying. In Romania, they didn't give a Can I curse on here?
Oh, you're fine. Yeah, you're good.
Oh, fuck, dude. It was wild. It was crazy. So I was exhausted. They started filming at like 8 a.m. I didn't at their time, which is like 1 a.m. in New York. I didn't wind up going up to do my spot till like 8 or 9 p.m. So I was just there all day. I was like out of my mind. Hadn't slept in a full 24 hours. I was exhausted. And because of some back and forth I had with some locals, I wrote some jokes. I was trying to like do some local references. I was like, I don't think any of this stuff's going to make sense. I had a joke like about my height, about how I'm like 5'11". And then I realized, I was like, oh, they use like metric. 5'11 is not going to make any sense. I had to like cut all this stuff last minute. I was like, all right, I've got these three jokes that have no slang, no weird colloquialisms. They're pretty universal. I'm just going to do this and call it a day. I'm so tired. I just want to go home. Want to go home so bad. It's been dark and rainy nonstop for 3 days. I miss my girlfriend. I miss my bed. I'm over it, whatever. And I go up and I tell my jokes, and the people in the audience don't speak English. They don't know what I'm saying, but they applaud when the light comes on and they're supposed to. And I tell my jokes and I'm like, all right, thank you so much. And I have a little translator in my ear, and the judges are talking to me. And the translator goes, they want you to do more. I'm like, what? Oh, no. Okay. And I go, okay. And for some reason, the first joke that popped my head is a very dark and personal joke about my dad dying. definitely not like, you know, not an easy sell. It's not really like something I put at the end of my set. But for some reason, I was like, all right, well, here's the thing. And I'm talking about how my dad was like an alcoholic and how he died and blah, blah, blah. And that bad guy, the Simon Cowell guy, the bad guy, out of nowhere, he just goes, hey, would you ever fuck an alien? And I'm like, what? And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, yes, and him. He's going somewhere with this. So I go, yeah, you got her for the story, right? And he goes, okay, and sits back down. I'm like, okay, back to my dead dad. Like, what is going on? And this is insane, right? So I do the joke, whatever. It's confusing for everybody. Nobody knows what's going on. I get my rankings. Judge number one, he goes, I don't know what you were saying. Thumbs down. Judge two, it's not for me. Thumbs down. Judge three, she's like the Paula Abdul one. She's like a pop singer, the one woman on the board. She's like nice to everybody. She goes, thank you for being here. I appreciate you coming out. Don't really understand your jokes, but you get a thumbs up. And I'm like, thanks. And now it's me and the Simon Cowell guy, my enemy, right? And he goes, he's a rapper over there. His name is, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. He's like, he goes, hey, man, I'm going to be honest. I like you. You're just like me. Yeah. When you tell your jokes, you make me think of when I write my raps. You got all this fucked up shit in your head. Thumbs up. And I was like, oh, cool. The one fucking asshole I hate like, loved me. And I was like, all right, well, thanks for having me. I'm going to go to the hotel now and go to sleep. And I step off stage and they cut for like their commercial break thing or whatever. And he runs. I feel like a big palm, a big mitt on my shoulder. And I turn around and it's the rapper guy. And he goes, hey, man, I meant that shit. And his breath reeks of whiskey. And he goes, I like you. And he gave me a big hug and went off to harass some more women, I assume.
That is hilarious.
And that was how my Romania audition went. I mean, I did it, like I said, completely, like kind of as a bit. And it's kind of a bit I took too far. But, you know, you got to see these things through to the end. And then at the end of it, I just got on a plane, came back home and wondered, I don't really know what all that was for, but it was funny to me for for a while. But I don't know. Here we are. And now I have that as a credit forever.
I love it. That is so funny. Well, congratulations. The name of the album, please. I don't have my notes in front of me. And where it's on 800 Pound Gorilla.
Harangue.
Harangue. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's on 800 Pound Gorilla and YouTube. all the places. Any plans to come to Colorado soon?
Yeah, I don't have dates yet, so I won't lock in anything, but probably this fall, I plan on coming through if I can.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Funny stuff, dude. I love that story. That is a great way to wrap here. It's a lot of fun. It's just
went so quick. Wow. I was going to say, if anybody, I just want to say there's a twist ending in the special that I really want people to see and appreciate. So if you're like half watching it with your phone out or doing dishes or whatever, come back for the last 10 minutes or yes. Nothing will make sense.
You have to. That's awesome, dude. Kevin, thank you for hanging out. I really appreciate your time, man.
Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Of major proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.